Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya.
We were talking about how the name Bhagawan is directly, literally, the name of personality of Godhead, but it can be figuratively used to refer to somebody else. And we're going to understand who it can refer to in just a minute. Let me make sure we don't have any pending questions. Okay, I don't see any. I didn't log in the last 2 days. Did anybody send me a question over the weekend? Okay. This is in file 43, number 108. Upachare bijantaram aha. Utpatim valayam chaiva. Bhutanam agatim gatim. Veti vidyam avidyam cha savatyo bhagavaniti. So, another grounds for figurative usage is described. What was the first grounds for figurative usage? Let's see that. Sages, why? It just says that sages can be called Bhagavan. Okay, so even if you're not a sage, where did it say that about the sages? Okay, when there's an object worthy of worship, he can be called Bhagavan. That's the first grounds. If someone's worshipable, then it's all right to call him Bhagavan. Here's another reason to call someone Bhagavan. One who understands the creation and destruction of material entities, their appearances and destinations, and also enlightenment and illusion can be called Bhagavan. That's a statement from who knows where. Wait a second. No, it's from the Vishnu Purana. It's the next verse. So it's the next verse of that chapter of the Vishnu Purana that we're citing. It says, one who understands the creation and destruction of material entities, their appearances and destinations, and also enlightenment and illusion can be called Bhagavan. Okay, it's quoted there, but it's actually from this 6.5 Vishnu Purana. And we can give a test, and then those who pass the Bhagavan test can have the title Bhagavan. Bhagavat Shabdavachyam Shadgunyam Prakadantarena Aha. Can we turn on one fan? Like that one? Or maybe that one, it won't disturb so much. How the six qualities are indicated by the word Bhagavan is described in yet another way. So we had the list we're familiar with, Aishwarya Samagrasya, etc. A few verses later, here's a different list of six opulences. Gana Shakti Balaishwarya Virya Tejamsa Sheshataha Bhagavat Chabdavachyani Vinaheyair Gunadibihi. Complete knowledge, vigor, power, sovereignty, potency, and radiance, devoid of undesirable qualities and so on, are expressed by the word Bhagavan. Okay, explanation. First, something from Sridhar Swami, and then some more from Jiva Goswami himself in explaining this verse. Ityatra
heyaich prakriti gunais tat karyaik karma bis tat palais cha vina.
Sri Goswami says, devoid vina heyai gunadi bihi, the verse says. Sri Goswami explains, devoid of the undesirable qualities of material nature and also of the activities that derive from them and their consequences. Material nature has some built-in undesirable qualities. Things are temporary. Things decay. These are qualities of material nature. Then there are activities that living entities engage in contact with material nature. And then there are the reactions of those activities. These are all heya, undesirable. Okay, now Jiva Goswami adds, atra gyanam. He's going to explain what the six are, according to this list. Atra gyanam antak karanajam balam. Shaktir indriyajam. Balam sharirajam. Okay, these are three different kinds of strength, but we can distinguish them. Gyanam. Knowledge means, here we can recognize that knowledge means the strength of the mind. Vigor or shakti means the strength of the senses. And bala or power, that's the strength of the body. Strength of the mind, of the senses, and of the body. That's the three different kinds of strength called Jnana, Shakti, and Bala. Then, Aishwarya. Wait, did I not get these right? Vigor. Yes, Teja Kantihi Asheshataha Samagrinetyartaha Iti Geyam. So he doesn't gloss Aishwarya. We'll just take that in the ordinary sense of power to control, controlling influence. Teja, or radiance. Tejas is usually translated as fire, the element fire. But it's not just literally fire. It's all kinds of radiant energy are signified by the word tejas. The element fire is manifest in a living body, but not as a burning flame. You don't have a pilot light or a flame inside your stomach, but you have hydrochloric acid and other enzymes that digest the food. They are manifestations of tejas, of radiant heat energy, or chemical energy, but it's tejas. It's according to Ayurveda, that's the manifestation of pitta, bile. But the subtle form of bile is just radiant energy, which causes transformation. Digestion is a process of transformation. Okay, so radiance means, what does it mean here? The Lord has all kinds of, has radiance. It doesn't mean he has strong digestive juices. Here it's glossed as kantihi, bodily luster, effulgence. And asheshitaha, without remnant, means completely. The word ashesha itself is sort of metaphorical. It literally means without a part left over. You know, you paid exactly 100 rupees and there wasn't any change because the price was exactly 100 rupees. No shesha, no change, no leftover. But figuratively, asheshataha, or actually by convention, asheshataha means completely. Nothing's left over, it means it's complete. Okay, those are the six opulences that define Bhagawan, listed in a different way. Not contending, because it's coming from the same source, from the same chapter. Okay,
Dvadash akshara antar gata bhagavat shabdas yartam uktva. Vasudeva shabdas yartam aha. Having stated the meaning of the word Bhagawan, which is included in the 12-syllable mantra, now the meaning of the word Vasudev is stated. Where does Vasudev come from? Because what's the 12-syllable mantra? Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So Bhagawan is there. That's been explained. But the word Vasudev is there. What is Vasudev? That's now discussed. Let me just write down the mantra so I don't forget to talk about it. Om Namo Bhagavate. Okay. Well, what is said is actually definition of Vasudeva, the word. Sarvani tatra bhutani vasanti paramatmani bhuteshu cha sa sarvatma vasudevas tatak smritaha. So this is not just a grammatical derivation. This is explaining the conventional usage, the rudi. Why Vasudeva, the Supreme Lord, is called Vasudeva. Why the name is given to him. It's not just why Vasu means this and Deva means that. Translation. All created beings reside in him, Vasanti. The Supreme Soul, he's the Paramatma. And that soul of all is in within all beings. Therefore, he is remembered as Vasudeva. Comment by Sridhar Swami. Ityatra vasanad vasanat cha vasuhu sadhanat sadhur iti vat. Okay. He is Vasu because he resides and causes others to reside. Vasanat and Vasanat. Because there's a verb, Vas, right? To smell, to have a fragrance. But this is the causative form of Vas, to dwell, making others dwell. There are five different verbs, Vas. But this is the one verb in the regular form and in the causative form, turned into nouns, vasanam and vasanam. I don't know the rule, but when you add the suffix am or anam onto a root, if it's causative, the aya part disappears. But you can still see that it's causative because the first syllable is probably vidi. So you have vasana and vasana is causative, making others dwell. And it's similar to just as someone is called sadhu because he's executing discipline. Sadhanat, because of doing sadhana, you're called sadhu. And dyotanad devaha vasus chasau devas cheti vasudevaha. He is Deva because of shining, his shining, Dyotanad. Dyotanam can mean a few things, but the first meaning, Dyut, Dhatu, means to shine. It's also used in grammar to refer to the meanings of words that don't have actual literal meanings. They don't have denotations. Just like little words like he, just may, in the sense of certainly, but it's a dyotanam rather than a abhida. It's not referring, pointing to anything. It's just adding an emphasis. It's just hinting at something. That is called dyotanam, the minor meanings of words that really are not specific meanings. But this is dyotana in the sense of just shining. The devas are called devas because they're effulgent. Of course, it's also connected with the verb div, to play. Since he is both Vasu and Deva, therefore he is Vasudeva. That's not a... That's an analysis of it as a samas. He's Vasu and he's also Deva. That's not... Okay, but it's not a Dvandva samas. It's a Karmadarya consisting of two adjectives. Right? Yeah. What is that called? Krishna Rama? Shama Rama. Is it supposed to be a Karmadarya?
Yeah.
Okay. He's Rama and he's also Shama. Is that it? I'm sorry?
Green.
He's green and he's Rama. Okay. It doesn't mean Krishna and Ram. That's a Dvandva. What do you call the Dvandva? Ramakrishna, okay. Taduktam moksha dharmi vasana dyotana chaiva vasudevam tato viduhu. That's the moksha dharma upaparana. No, moksha dharma is part of the Mahabharata, sorry. It's actually Mahabharata moksha dharma. Okay, it means I don't have an exact reference. Okay, hold on a second. Okay, yeah. Moksha Dharma is where? Anybody know? I'll find it. It's somewhere actually in the Mahabharata. Yes, ma'am? Yeah, but Bhishma Dev talks in a lot of places. Moksha Dharma is part of either the Shanti Parva or the Anushasana Parva, because that's where Bhishma Dev is giving his instructions to Yudhishthira.
In Vishnu Sahasranama, when Bhishma Dev instructs the Vishnu Sahasranama to Yudhishthira, while concluding, he says this, Vasanad Vasudeva, he says this.
Aha. Uh-huh. Not the same verse.
No, it goes Vasanad Vasudevasya. It goes like that.
Okay, but this is also Bhishma Dev speaking somewhere close by. Anyway, the translation is: because of his residing and his shining, he is thus known as Vasudeva. Okay, that's poetic. As far as the grammarians are concerned, it's Rudhi, it's just a name, and it's conventionally assigned to a particular person. He's called Vasudev. Okay. Janakadayo Bhagavan Nama Lochana Nishtayaiva Brahma Gyanam Prapta Iti darshayan aha shad bihi kandikya janakayaya pishtakeshi dvajankpura nama vyakyam anantasya vasudevasya tatvataha spashtam. Demonstrating that Janaka and others achieved understanding of the absolute truth simply by devoting themselves to the study of the personality of Godhead's names. The following is stated in the six verses. Alochana, we can say study or investigation, examination of the names. Bhagavan Nama Alochana, Nishtaya, just by their dedication to that activity, they achieved Brahmagyanama. Janaka and others. This is the famous King Janaka from the Brihadaranyaka Upanishad who has conversations with Yajnavalkya and others. And is it the same as Sitadeva's father or a different Janaka? I'm not sure. There are a few Janakas in the same line of the kings of Mithila. Translation of that verse: long ago, Keshi Dwaja spoke a systematic explanation of the name of the unlimited Supreme Lord Vasudeva to Kandikya Janaka, being asked about this by him. Spashtam, the meaning of this verse is self-evident. No need to explain anything. Now, this is the next to last chapter of the Vishnu Purana. The very last chapter, Canto 6, Chapter 6 of the Vishnu Purana. I think that's the last chapter, or is it 8? Anyway, this is almost the last chapter. And the very last chapter is conversation between between Keshidwaja and Kandikya Janaka. So this is a particular Janaka who's called Kandikya Janaka. That conversation is there in the last chapter coming up in the Vishnu Purana. But I read it. I don't think they talk about the Lord's names in that chapter. This is a different conversation. Anyway, we know a few things about this Janaka. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that... what was it? Astita Janaka Adaya. What's the beginning of the verse? Karmanaiva. So just by doing their duty, their karmic duty, kings like Janaka, or persons like Janaka, became perfect. And I presume that's the same Janaka that got Brahman knowledge of Brahman by studying the names of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Then, Vishnu Purana next says, Bhuteshu vasate sontar vasantyatra chataniyat data vidata jagatam vasudevas tatak prabhu. He dwells within the created beings, and they also dwell in him. He is the created, the creator, and provider of all the worlds. Therefore, the Lord is called Vasudeva. That's slight elaboration on what it's already been said. Sridhar Swami comments, Ityatra bhuteshu vasate sontar iti vasu shabdo vyakyataha. By saying he dwells within the created beings, the word vasu is explained. Data vidate ityadina deva shabdo diver datur anekarta papanchena vyakyata iti gyayam. By the words beginning, the creator, the provider, data vidata jagatam, the word deva is explained. We should understand by an elaboration of various meanings of the verb to shine, divdatu. Actually, I think divu, div to shine, div to play are the same verb. That's one root, right? It's not two different roots. Divyati means he shines, means he plays. The same root. Then we go into a longer meter. The Vishnu Purana next says, Sasarva Bhuta Prakriter Vikaran Gunam Shadosham Chamune Vyatita Atita Sarva Varano Kilatma Tenastritam Yad Bhuvanantarale. O sage, who's the sage here? Who's talking to whom? Vishnu Purana. Purusha is talking, and who's he talking to? Yeah, Maitreya is the sage. O sage Maitreya. He comprises everything, Vasudeva. Vasudeva comprises everything and is beyond the transformations of nature, her qualities, and her faults. He is the soul of all, beyond all material coverings. Whatever exists in space, between the worlds, is pervaded by him. This is commented on. Whatever there is in the interspace of the worlds is all covered, enveloped, or in other words, pervaded by him. Bhuvanantara le yad asti tat sarvam tena astritam channam vyaptam iti yavat. The verse says astritam. It's covered. You can say that means enveloped or pervaded. Channam or vyaptam. Okay. So Vasudeva is everywhere. He pervades everything. And that's why he's called Vasudeva. And again, more about him. Samasta kalyana gunatmako hi swashakti leshavrita bhuta sargaha iccha grihita bhimatoru deha samsadita shesha jagadito sao. He contains in himself all auspicious qualities. By a small fragment of his potency, he surrounds all created beings. By his sweet will, he has assumed many different bodies which please him. Icha grihita abhimata urudeva. Many bodies which are abhimata, which are favored or pleasant, are assumed, icha, by his own will. By his sweet will, he has assumed many different bodies which please him, thus creating good fortune for the entire universe. You see, the two sentences haven't been translated, but they have been. Everything's translated there. Delete comment. Okay, next. Okay, another description of his auspicious qualities coming up. Tataiva kalyana gunan aha. That's what's not translated. Yeah. Okay. Sorry, let me write that down. Okay, I don't have a translation. I'll have to fake one. Hold on a second. Okay. Atra grahi pradur bhav anarta iti gyeham. Okay, grihita, he has, by his desire, he's grabbed on to many desirable bodies. Grabbed, grak, datu. Or grahi is a way to call the verb. Well, what does it mean? It means manifest, make visible. He's not going around snatching bodies, you know, stealing other people's bodies. He manifests his eternal forms. So it has to be understood, gra has to be understood in the sense of pradur bhava. Sri Vittishu paramayas tadeva shobha sampatir bhagantak patena swabhavika twat. Well, why is that? Why should we take gra to mean make visible? That's not what gra normally means. But we have to understand the special nature of these opulences, the kalyana gunas, are not ordinary material qualities. People assume qualities. A thin person, when he gets older, he can get fat. He wasn't fat before, but he becomes fat. He's assuming a quality. But the Supreme Lord doesn't assume qualities. He has them eternally. These are all, these kalyana gunas, are all functions of the goddess of fortune, Sri Vittishu. And this opulence of his, the beauty, the splendor of his body, Taddeha Shobha Sampatir, is paramayas, it's transcendental, not at all material. Therefore, all these kalyana gunas are included within his bhagas. Is the standard assets of the personality of Godhead, eternal assets, complete assets. All his auspicious qualities are within that category. And therefore, they're all innate and natural. They're not assumed, they're not artificial. Therefore, we don't say that he goes out and grabs some qualities. He has those qualities eternally, and he's just manifesting them in different times and places. Uttaratra sharira baladhir apyuktavat. And later on, we're going to refer to his body and his physical strength. These also, his body, he has a body, but that body is innate. It's not an assumed body. He has strength, but it's not acquired strength. It's strength that he always has and just sometimes manifests. Okay? That's the missing two sentences. Tataiva Kalyana Gunan Aha. His auspicious qualities are furthermore described. Tejo Balaishvarya Mahava Bodha Swavirya Shaktiadi Gunaikarashi Parak Paranam Sakalana Yatra Klesh Adayak Samti Paravareshe. He is the possessor of radiant potency, Tejas, physical strength, Bala, controlling power, Aishwarya, and supreme awareness, Maha Avabodha. He alone is the reservoir of all exceptional qualities, including his personal prowess and energies. Swavirya Shakti Adi Guna Ekarashi. He is the ultimate among all supreme beings, Parak Paranam, including his personal prowess and energies. He is the ultimate among all supreme beings, the Lord of everything superior and inferior, within whom there is no trace of anything like distress. Nayatra kleshadayak santi, in whom there are no klesha, and so on. No traces of anything like distress. Then another verse going with this one. Sa ishvaro vyashti samashti rupo vyakta swarupa prakata swarupa sarveshvarak sarvadrik sarvaveta samasta shaktim parameshvarakya. The Supreme Lord has both individual and universal forms and exists both visibly and invisibly. He is the Lord of everything, the seer of everything, the knower of everything, and the Lord of all potencies. Thus he is known as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is commented on. Ityatra vyashti sankarshanadi rupaha samastir vasudev atma. The individual, the vyashti, are the forms of sankarshana and so on. And the samashti, or the universal, is the Supreme Lord Vasudeva. Okay. Vyashti and samashti can be understood in various ways. One common understanding is there's the total universe, and then there are the individual beings in the universe. A yogi meditates and he realizes the cosmos within himself. He sees the samashti within the vyashti. But the vyashti is the individual soul, usually. But here, the Vishnu Purana is distinguishing the two differently. It's distinguishing among the forms, the personal forms of the Supreme Lord. Sankarsana and the others are the vyashtis, the individuals. And the combination, the total universal form, is Vasudev. Atra prakata swarupa Shri Vigraha Prakatyena Eti Gyayam. Here, the phrase, where is it? Prakata Swarupa, existing as manifest, should be understood as meaning, appearing manifestly in his divine personal form. He has a personal form, a body, and that body is manifest. Well, manifest means visible. It's not visible to everybody, the form of the Supreme Lord, but it's visible to some. There's always somebody who can see the Supreme Lord, and therefore he's manifest. If nobody could see him, ever, then he's unmanifest. Now, if he didn't have a form, he'd be unmanifest. Or if the form was never seen by anybody. In a court of law, there's the writ of habeas corpus. Show the body. That doesn't mean a dead body. That means someone's being accused of a crime, and maybe he's locked up in a cell. So the defense attorneys can demand, bring the man to court. Don't just leave him locked up in the torture cell. Bring him here. We want to see him, what condition he's in. And the accuser should accuse him to his face, not just keep him locked up in a dungeon. That's the right of habeas corpus. But it's not required that you have to show him on television and everybody in the world has to see him. It's just he has to appear in the court and it has to be certified that he's alive and okay. That's habeas corpus. So the Supreme Lord, the habeas corpus applied to him is that somebody should see him. He's manifest. He's proven to be what he's supposed to be. If somebody has seen him like that, not that everybody has to see him. Okay. Prakritam upasamharati. So this passage, all these verses we've been reading, is concluded with the following verse. And it's summed up. Upasamharati. Sa gyayate yena tadasta dosham shudham param nirmalam ekarupam sandrishyate chapyadigamyate va tadgyanam agyanam ato nyad uktam. Final verse. I think the final verse. That is actual knowledge by which he is understood and also seen and achieved. He who is devoid of all faults is pure, transcendental, spotless, and always one and the same. Anything else which might be described is simply ignorance. So real knowledge is knowledge by which Bhagawan is understood theoretically, but he's also actually seen, and he's actually attained. That means you actually attain your personal relationship with him. Then you have real knowledge. Anything else, any inferior description, is just ignorance. Sridhar Swami comments on this. Ityatra yena gyayate parokshavritya sandrishyate sakshat kriyate adigamyate niksesha avidya nivritya prapyate tadgyanam paravidya. Okay, this is commented on. That by which he is understood theoretically, gyayate. Gyayate? Parokshavritya. Paroksha means the process of knowledge of something beyond your sight. You don't see it, but you hear about it. You know something indirectly without seeing it directly. That's paroksha jnanam. But also seen, directly perceived, and achieved, obtained by the total cessation of all illusion. That is knowledge by which the absolute truth, Bhagawan, is understood, seen, and achieved. That is the paravidya, the higher mystic wisdom. Paravidya was mentioned at the beginning of this passage of the, it was actually Maitreya's question about the paravidya and the aparavidya. And the first thing that that Parashar explained was that there are two kinds of vidya, para and apara. And that information is coming actually from the Mundaka Upanishad, being repeated by Parashara here in the Vishnu Purana. It's the Mundaka Upanishad that originally talks about the two vidyas, para and apara. Para is that, what karmakanda knowledge you can get from the Rig Veda and other Vedas, and direct personal realization by discrimination of the Absolute Truth. That is paravidya. And so we're summing up in terms of the transcendental higher mystic wisdom. And then finally, agyanam avidyantar vartini aparavidyetyarta. So the aparavidya, the ordinary karmakanda knowledge of the Vedas, ignorance means the inferior wisdom which is in the realm of illusion. Karmakanda knowledge is in the realm of illusion. It's absolute knowledge, but reflected on illusion. The Vedas are giving us all knowledge about everything, and the means, the sadhanas, for achieving the fulfillment of any desire. But when you take that perfect potential and reflect it in a conditioned soul, the conditioned soul receives information about to get what he wants, which is something material. So the karmakanda, realization of the Vedas, is the reflection of the perfect knowledge in the imperfect heart. And that imperfect heart perceives some way to fulfill his material desires, some ritual, some auspicious activity for getting the material thing he wants. And that's karmakanda understanding. But it's really the reflecting medium of the contaminated heart that makes the difference. Okay, there's more coming, at least to the end of this file, so we'll leave that for tomorrow. Okay, but we have to even get back to the Anucheda to finish up with the Sarasamvadini. I think, well, there's some more discussion even after that. And I'll check it tonight, how far to go. So anyway, thank you. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Srimad Bhagavatam, Ki Jai.